So, I affectionately refer to you as Dr. Sally, but you are Sally Bartlett, who I know to be a perimenopause and a menopause coach, advisor, and speaker. So, if you want to just tell us a bit more about yourself, Sally, please.
Oh, well, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you, Elaine, for inviting me. I am
Great.
a, as you said, menopause coach, and I help midlife women achieve clarity and confidence as they go through this stage of their life.
Absolutely fantastic.
Thank you. I began this journey myself when I was about 45, and I just thought I really did think I was going crazy, like seriously. And the symptoms were so severe for me, and I had no idea what they were. And so from then on, I have been, once I found out what was going on and got some help, I have dedicated myself to talking about this, starting this conversation with other women so that they don't feel alone like I did.
Yes, exactly. And I'll be honest with you, I had the same experience. And it was 10 years later, I actually started my journey through menopause quite early. I was 42, 43. And as the years went by, and then I reached the age of 50, I don't know whether I had an extra long perimenopause journey, but it's as if it just hit me at the age of 49, 50, like a brick wall. And like you say, you don't know who to turn to, who to talk to. I went to my GP, and the GPs, I don't expect them to have a knowledge or experience of everything, but rather than refer you, they just seem to be happy to give me antidepressants, which I thought, I don't need antidepressants. I don't know what's wrong with me. But you end up on that path, and you feel really lost and alone. And unless you're sharing that experience with somebody, it's quite difficult, and very rarely do we share that experience as women. We're going through it alone. And it's knowing who to reach out to, where to go, where to get help, who you can confide in, who can talk to you. So yeah, very, very similar. So I decided from around the age of 50 plus, I won't go too far into my actual age now. But that I wanted, because I had a business plan on the back burner, I wanted to incorporate this about the female menopause journey into my business project, which was health and wellness coaching for women of a certain age, midlife. So yes, I can very much relate to what you do. And I think I met you on, was it via Instagram that we met? I think it was.
Yes,
I was thinking
it
back. Through something that I was doing some kind of research or something, and I either came across your name or you just popped up on my Instagram page, and I thought, wow, clicked into that, and we've been communicating ever since, and it's been fantastic. It's been lovely to know you, and
Yes.
yes, you have such a deep knowledge, and you've got a book. Is your book published now, or is it out
I
now?
do. Yes, it's available. It's on Amazon, but it's not available yet on Amazon, but you can go to my website and get it, which is just sallybartlett.com. You can order it. And what happened is that when I started experiencing the symptoms, I said I loved a journal. And so I said, I'm going to start keeping a separate journal just about these experiences. Because I talked to a few of my female friends when my symptoms started happening, which I'll talk about in a second, the actual symptoms, but they didn't understand. And some of my women friends who are older than I, they just kind of blew it off like, oh, I'm so glad my period's over. And
That's
that was
right.
really upsetting to me because to me, it meant the end of childbearing years. And that was a super sacred thing for me. And so I was very sad. I was profoundly sad about that. Even though I do have one child, I had hoped to have more. And so there was a lot of a deep sadness. And my feelings inside didn't match what these women were saying and what they were communicating to me. And then I felt like, oh, now I'm even weirder. What, why am I profoundly affected by this? And so that's when I just began writing about all my experiences and about experiences of friends of mine who I could see they were also going through it, but they maybe didn't recognize it as such yet. And so that I wanted to talk about the Is it all right if I named some of my symptoms that I was experiencing?
Yes, no problem at all. Yes.
The first was that my sleeping was disrupted big time. Uh-huh. And then I would wake up in the middle of the night, like at 3 a.m. every day. Mm-hmm. And I would be wired like I was ready to run a marathon. And then from there, I cried like I would burst into tears at weird mm-hmm. times during the day. I would burst into tears if I would hear a certain song, and I would cry like more than your normal crying. Like it was very disturbing. And and then I would forget things, and I'm a very organized person, and I would lose my keys, forget what I was going to say in the middle of a sentence. And this was all at around age 45, these things began. And I kind of pride myself on being sharp, and I was not sharp. So
Oh bless, oh dear. I understand. Yes, I fully understand.
So those were a few of the ones that really were getting my attention and upsetting me in the beginning. So
it's a feeling of losing control, isn't it? It's a feeling of losing yourself, and you don't know, where am I going? Where have I disappeared to? What's happening to me? Yeah. It's that kind of feeling.
Yes, exactly. And I think too, then there's the physical. I mean, that's kind of physical as well, but I would look in the mirror and I would see like, I didn't look the same, and different parts of my body didn't look the same. And it wasn't so much that I was overweight, but it was that I just, things weren't proportioned the same way anymore. And I hadn't changed anything as far as my eating habits or my exercise habits. And and then also exercise, which I've always loved my entire life. I think I just did something here with the camera.
I can still see you.
Okay, good. Okay, I'm just going to go with it. The exercise was no longer enjoyable to me. I've always loved exercise, and for some reason, I didn't enjoy it anymore. And it wasn't as fun. My joints didn't feel as good. So, that was what happened.
Yes. Yeah. And as I say, I can relate to all of that and then some. And again, as yourself, I've spoken with close friends of mine who, as I say, when you're in your circle, your close circle of friends, you tend to talk about things. It's the outside, when you try and take it outside of that circle, that you find people sort of clamp down and they don't really want to expose what's going on with them. But yeah, my circle of friends as well, the same experiences. And my circle of friends are a similar age to me. So we're kind of out of that journey now, but knowing of what I went through and knowing that other people are going through the similar journey, you just want to reach out and help, because it's tough. It's really tough. It's a complete life changer, really.
Yes.
But talking from my own experience and listening to others, it completely changes your life, and people don't realize how much it changes your life until you actually go through it. You will never understand. It's good to know that people like you and me and many, many others are there to pass on our knowledge and information to those people, and know that, you know, if you need anything, we are here. We are here to help, you know. And
we're so much stronger together.
Yes, exactly. Your book, the title of your book made me laugh. Damn it, it is menopause. Brilliant title. And it says everything. It says absolutely everything that you need it to say, and it catches your attention as well. Damn it, what the hell is going on with me?
Exactly.
yes, fantastic. So I've got a couple of, one thing I do want to say is, gentlemen, if you are listening, don't touch the dial, don't walk away, don't go and find some DIY to do or some shopping or go and lock yourselves in the shed. Please listen in, because it's just as important. It's educational, and it's an experience for you also, in order to be supportive to your partners, your wives, your girlfriends, your spouses. It's good to know that, you know, as females, we have that support from our loved ones going through this journey. Everybody's journey experience is different. It's like pregnancy. Everyone's pregnancy is different. Some find it easier than others. So it's good to know that support is there. So lads, don't run away. Ladies, grab them, hold on to them and make them listen. because this is so important. Sally, can I just ask, if could you, I mean, the world over, different ethnicities, every female, without a doubt, will go through this experience in their life at some stage, whether it be earlier or later. As I say, I'm in my 50s and I've been through it, started early. So I think a lot of the time I do research and I read up on things, and there seems to be a time frame put on the menopause journey, which through my own experience, and I can only say that from my own family members, my mother especially, I saw symptoms in her, menopausal symptoms in her, right into her 80s. I mean, she's gone now. I lost her 3 years ago, rest her soul. But right into her 80s, I saw menopausal symptoms, which were misconstrued with diabetes symptoms, which she suffered with later in life, and also fibromyalgia symptoms, which again, she had later in life. So with the diabetes, the symptoms of the sweats, the lethargy, the itchy skin, the confusion, menopausal symptoms. And with the fibromyalgia symptoms I saw in my mum and other people that I've met who have fibromyalgia now, who are in my life now, feelings of depression, aches and pains in the joints, constant lethargy. One day you're up and you're buzzing and you're ready to go. The next day you just don't want the world to talk to you. And again, confused with diabetes symptoms. And a lot of the time I'd even go to the GP with my mum and say, well, has she got diabetes? Has she got fibromyalgia? Or is she still going through the menopause? And this was into her 80s. And I know my mum started her menopausal journey in her late 40s. So do you think that there should be a time frame put on that? Because a lot of readings and educational books and things that I see, research with regards to menopause, say, oh, it's a 10-year journey.
Gosh, you know, it's really, like you said, it's so individual. And there is a fine line between all of those things, including like what one eats and those types of things. And you're bringing up such a good point, because the research that I've found too is that on the other end of the spectrum is that women can also have early menopause as early as like in their 30s.
And, that's right.
And it can just go on for, you know, my mother has also passed away and she had a hysterectomy. So I didn't experience anything with her as far as that, like what you're describing with your mother. So, and I don't know if I'm actually addressing your point, but just to say that you just don't know, and you need to, no matter what it is that's causing your symptoms, self-care is always the answer. You know, little exactly. self-care yeah. daily is mm-hmm. what I've always found. They don't have to be big things, but just little things. For example, if I choose to eat, you know, a chocolate really close to my bedtime, I will probably have night sweats, even though I'm in my 60s. And so, but on other nights when I don't eat like that and I eat earlier in the day, is that acid reflux? Is that menopause? You know, is it?
That's right.
It's really, and in the end, it really doesn't matter, because we just need to take good care of ourselves and support each other doing so.
That's right. Exactly. Spot on. And my sentiments exactly. Just to go back on that, my mother also had a hysterectomy after she had me, and she went through. Being younger then, I didn't understand the journey that she was going through, because when you're younger, you think, oh, that's never going to happen to me, I'm fine. But when it does, you reflect back to your parents' generation and your grandparents who were going through it, and you think, oh, okay. So that's what it was. So it's as you say, everyone's journey is individual. It's a different experience. And as I fully agree, self-care is the key, looking after yourself. I mean, I think we look after ourselves a lot more now than my parents' generation did. With them, it was a case of look after your family and work, provide for your family. This generation, I find it's a lot of health and wellness, mindfulness, especially now looking after your mental health as well as your physical health. So yes, you've answered that question perfectly. It is an individual journey, and it's a case of looking after yourself. No matter what, as best you can. And I think being aware of your own body as well. With me, I always say my body is a temple, and I won't put anything into it that I know is going to cause that temple to self-destruct. Don't get me wrong, I've got a very, 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 very bad sweet tooth.
I love
chocolate cake. anything, put it in front of me, I will eat it. So self-control as well and discipline is the key, definitely. It's a case of what you put in, you get out. So you have to look after yourself from within as well.
Yeah.
I have another question for you. I don't know if you have any experience of it, but I'm going to ask anyway, because along my travels with research before sort of starting my own business venture, I've looked into things like HRT and natural remedies. I personally didn't go down the HRT route for personal reasons and also for family history reasons. So how do you feel about HRT?
Oh, that's a great one. Let me think, how am I going to answer this? Yes, I explored a lot of things. I'll just kind of tell my history because that's
yes.
what I know best. And I am, you know, anyway, I'm not a doctor, like a medical doctor. And yes. so what happened for me was, first, it was suggested that I try antidepressants, and I did actually try them for a short period of time, and I didn't feel that they really addressed what was going on. So I went off of those. And after that, I tried a series of things. I know there are pellets, but here in the US, I think you probably have heard of, you have all the same things. And patches, there are hormone replacement patches. And in the end, my blood levels did not reveal that I actually was perimenopausal yet, but my doctor treated the symptoms. And that's the kind of doctor you want. You want a doctor that's going to treat the symptoms, not just go, just brush you off and say, yeah, go exercise more and change how you eat. And
that's
really not helpful. So my doctor said, you know, let's just address your symptoms. And so we, none of those really materially made a difference. Oh, another thing was mood swings. We have to say mood swings because mood swings were huge for me. It was like the worst PMS times five was what my mood swings were like. It was not the person I knew and had known my whole adult life. So that's important to the story because it was also upsetting. So in the end, she finally said, why don't we just put you on a birth control? Because birth control really is HRT. And I know this is controversial, so I want you to know that this is just my story and take what you want and leave the rest. But so that I did for 5 years, which was medically, you know, okay for me to do with my medical history and everything. So that was fine. And that did help a lot of the problem. And so, and then when my period actually ended at age 50, I'm really telling you everything here. But I think people need to know this. I think it's important to talk about and have this conversation and normalize it. That's when I did begin a bioidentical HRT. So, and that was that worked really well for me. And actually I am still on that today. So I know that too is also controversial and I don't plan to stay on it forever, but, I'm taking it one day at a time and, you know, trying to get through a pandemic, for now.
Oh,
so I'm not making any huge decisions on that, but that has been my path. And, I did want to say that there is a little bit of a misconception about HRT because the kind that my mother was on after her hysterectomy was Premarin, which was made from pregnant horse urine, which is nothing like how HRT is today. And also studies that were done on women by the World Health Organization. Said they found problems with using that. And so bioidentical hormones are nothing like that. And I think there's a little bit of a misconception. I've listened to people talk about this who have done exhaustive research on this. So I just wanted, my point is research things, you know, like you're doing, you're saying, Elaine, research things and know what is out there and what you're going to try and find a healthcare provider that you trust and
exactly.
Pay attention to you.
That is so true. You've got to have a relationship as such with your health provider really, and get on that level because that can cause problems. I found that out in the past. You don't understand me. You're not listening. So then you go for a second opinion and then And that's, you're open to that. You're open to go and get a second opinion if you're not happy with the information that you're getting from your health practitioner or health provider, sure. Which I did. And I found I had a bit of success with that. But yes, you're so right. And again, HRT has advanced so much since that time. And I mean, so much research has gone into it. And it's had to advance, really, because there were too many scary stories at the time that I was advised to use HRT. And I only chose not to because of family history and right. because of all the scary stories that are out there, really put me off. And I managed to get through it with natural remedies, herbal remedies and supplements. And with me, it was exercise. I think exercise really helped me through my journey. And like yourself, I lost interest in exercise for a while. I just didn't want to know. And then I thought my body's changing because I'm not exercising, but it wasn't because of that. It was because I was going through that journey.
Mm-hmm.
But I think embarking on that journey of exercise again, taking it on board, I mean, I started off in bodybuilding many, 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 many years ago and came through that and stopped doing that after about 10 years. And then I had about a four to five year break of doing absolutely nothing. And then I went into the health and wellness side of things with exercise to music, teaching dance, Zumba, and I did a PT course so you can coach, things like that. So I've got the experience, but applying it to myself, it was in bits and starts, so to speak. So I know where I am now and what I do, and I know that it's helped me. So yes, again, it's looking after yourself physically as well, isn't it?
Yes.
But yes, so yes, thank you for answering that. So as I said, I tend to, in my business venture, I'm trying to inspire and encourage women to do, in my line of work, to sort of take on the health and wellness journey for themselves and take a bit more interest in it. I work for a privately run charity organization. It's well known. I'm not going to advertise the name. I think I let it slip once in one of my shows. I should really, but I won't. But fantastic employers. I love working for them, and it's in the health and wellness side of things as well. And my own journey and my own business is based on helping women to build confidence. So instill confidence through movement, strength training and Zumba dance sessions, and to give guidance on the menopause journey and signpost. I mean, if I don't know the answer to something, I will signpost you onto somebody that does. I don't profess to know everything. I never will. And it's still a journey for me as well. So that is pretty much my aim. And one of the reasons why, when I met you, I thought you'd be the perfect person to interview and talk to about this. I mean, I found, as I said earlier, that women tend to go quite silent when you try and talk about this subject. They either hide away, change the subject, or it's as if we don't need to know about that. We've been there, we've done it. And have you had the same experience with your coaching and your I know you do a lot of talking as well, like talking. So have you had that same experience of people tending to shy away from the subject, not wanting to talk?
Yes, but here's the miracle of social media, which I poo-pooed for so long because it was new to someone my age. And now I've embraced it fully and love it, just like I'm embracing my life and my menopause experience. But the very wonderful thing about social media is that people feel safe because they have some sort of anonymity. People all over the world now will private message me and say, I feel really alone. You know, am I normal? And I'll say, like, how old are you? What's going on? And they feel, for whatever reason, safe to share that on that level. And so it's such a wonderful thing that I can reassure them one at a time, like, you know what? Yes. You're totally normal. You're going to get through this. Research this in your state, in your country, wherever region you're in. It's wonderful to be able to link together with women all over the world. I'm kind of getting all choked up.
I understand.
In that way, it's really, and that's how I met you. And
exactly. Yeah. social media at first, to be honest, I'll be honest with you, I was scared of social media. Oh, yeah. I thought I was not born in the digital age. I was born in the industrial age. So what is this social media thing? And then when I tried to experiment with it, I was doing things wrong. And then I took a break from it. And then I thought, you know what, in order for me to establish my own business plan, and to, because of COVID, really, we've been forced to go more towards social media and online. Everything is going that way. So I've had to get to grips with social media, and I did a few courses recently and previously to try and learn a lot more about it. And you're right, it is a way of us to, it's great for expressing yourself in private, so to speak. I hope that's understandable to listeners. But also it's a way of us talking more about the subject without feeling intimidated, or, you know, it's kind of brought something out in us that wasn't there before. So yes, we have a lot to thank social media for. Yes, I fully agree.
And I know this is a little bit of changing tracks, but it's related. And that's just what you do when you're menopausal, is you jump around. So spirit, I want to say that, and you compared it to the Industrial Revolution too, is that what I've realized is that as I age, I need to keep addressing self-care as far as physically, intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually. So social media, I could have just said like, oh no, that's, you know, I'm too old for that. And then I'm missing out on exploring, like, intellectually growing. And so I've taken the opportunity and encouraged myself, come on, you can do this. You don't have to be perfect. You can just, you can learn new things. And that is, helps me continue to grow and age successfully. So it's so important to look at all those things as we grow, and the emotional too, that, you know, so physically, we talked about exercise, super important, challenging your mind, super important, even if it's to watch like a game show that it has hard questions, anything. Emotionally, you know, emotionally regulating, you know, I'm feeling feelings, how am I feeling, what am I going to do about it, rather than eat over it. And then spiritually, just looking at just my lovability, how do I keep feeling lovable at myself, whether it's just putting lotion on my legs. I mean, it could be little tiny things like that, or painting my nails, or whatever it is that I like to do, garden, do, you know, make crafts, anything just to feel more lovable and to keep feeling lovable and keep, and then too, like what I covered in my books, I'm sorry, this is just me being really real.
No, that's fine.
It's jumping around, is that, I wrote I have the two volumes of my book, and the first volume is kind of about me coming to terms with me, this new person, and having this relationship with myself that has changed. And then the second volume is about me and the world. Like, how am I going to spread my wings now and contribute to society with this new 2.0 version of myself, if you will. So it's just, we have so much more living to do. Our lives are not over because we don't get our period anymore. You know, it's quite the opposite, and it's lovely. So I've embraced that. And I didn't embrace it in the beginning. That's what I want to say. I fought it. Yeah. I want to say not weeks, not months, but like years. Fought it. Yeah. I did not want to be this.
Yeah.
So that's you know,
that's very relatable. Very relatable. I mean, but what do they say now? Is it 50 is the new 40 and 60 is the new 50 or something like that? I'm still 21, so.
Yes.
It's how you feel in your mind and body. Your outer body might say something else, but it's how you feel internally. And I think to bring this to a close, it's a case of listeners, ladies especially, it's about self-love. Be kind to yourself, do your research. If you're feeling not your usual self, I mean, every week I do a little topic on health and wellness, a subject on health and wellness that affects us as a community, as women, as men, as, you know, just health topics that affect us in general the most. And it's all about looking after yourself, being aware of your own body. And if you notice or feel different in any way, not your usual self, talk to someone about it, health practitioner, a friend, you know, anyone. But it all boils down to looking after yourself at the end of the day, and being kind to yourself and each other, really.
Yeah.
So Sally, I'd like to thank you so much for your time and your patience. And I know I've taken a lot of your busy time. It's really, really early over there now, isn't it? I would still normally be asleep at that time. Not every day, because I do get up early for work. But thank you so much for taking part, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Thank you very much. And I will be in touch with you very, very soon. But for now, this is the end of our interview. Thank you for listening to New Style 98.7 FM.